everybody. George here. Got a little ahead of myself today on a project that I was working on. I was going to boo about this. I got a new acquisition, which I probably really don't need, but it was something I saw in my weekly run with my friend Paul. Actually, there's been a few weeks where we haven't been able to get together due to his activities with the shows and stuff that he's been in. But, yeah, when we get together, we hang out and we go to the thrift stores around town. And on our last stop, I should inform, it's kind of like a mission we have that we try to get to these stores and look at things without buying. And so if we do, we come out, we joke, oh, we've come out unscathed today or something like that. Well, second stop, actually two stops in a row, I think Paul ended up with a little music book or two that he liked, and he bought them. And so far I was hitting pretty well. I was coming out unscathed. Well, that wasn't until we went to the last store, which was a Goodwill thrift store. And I came out with a little treasure, which was a little Pioneer non-switching amp, and it's got a weird layout. I'm going to try and describe this quickly. The controls are like little vertical push buttons. They're like small rectangles, but they're arrayed that the rectangle is standing vertically. It's almost like a little bar. If you want to look at them like little bars, the power bar is the longest of them. It's probably about an inch and a half tall, and these are all pretty much less than half an inch wide. Directly underneath that is the, I think, speaker A, and then there's a gap of about an inch, and then speaker B. So they're spread out pretty good. Above that, we don't really have anything. Then there's a loudness control further to the right, and I'm going from left to right, by the way. Oh, I missed. The headphone jack is immediately right of the second speaker control. Yeah, then there's the push button for the loudness. And it's arrayed the opposite way. It's horizontal. So the length of it is from left to right. Underneath that, there are rotary control. There's a rotary control for the bass, which has the notches. Then the rotary control for the treble and the balance. The model of this one, I should have said at the beginning, is SA940. It's a non-switching amplifier, which is the reason that I picked it up. Non-switching amps are known to have a smooth sound. Of course, they run warm because the transistors are always carrying current of some kind. They never quite get shut down as they may in a conventional amp. They don't have a rest position. They're just going, going, going. Now, at the other, there's the three rotary controls that are on the bottom. And above the last of them, the balance one, is a control for what they call adapter or tape 2. Press it in to activate, and press it again, and it comes out, and you can listen to the sources. And they have the traditional, I think, early 80s, or early to mid 80s, I think it was, Pioneer bar power meters, where these things are vertical. I think they're LED bars, but I know that they're sort of a trademark of Pioneer. Then we have four more of these big button bars. And the top row of them, they run, they're spaced out so that they have, they're like, there's a light to the left of each one. I think they're, that's a big display unit, really. And so the top one, you've got tuner and phono, and then the bottom row is the tape one, and then a CD aux, or auxiliary. And the switch for that is in a weird place. It's immediately to the right of the button, but also, since those controls are very close to the volume, it's right, looks like the corner bottom left corner of the volume control. Volume control is a big rotary knob. I've seen a later inception of this amp. I actually had it for a while until I sold it, that had all slider controls, so this is a bit older. And it's also silver face, whereas mine was black. This thing's small but chunky. The amp itself is probably maybe 3 inches tall. About 10 inches from front to back, and the standard probably 18 inches left to right. 15, 18 inches left to right. Heavy though. Probably a 20 pounder at least. It's a small amp. And as I predicted, under the hood. Boy, these hoods are tricky things to get at the best of times. You have to lift the back of it and then raise it out altogether. The whole, easily two-thirds of it, of the amp from left to right, is a massive heat sink. It's a trough in the middle, probably made of quarter-inch thick aluminum. And on the huge transistors, there's four of them, two for each channel, bolted to the bottom of this heatsink. And then they seem to plug into the circuit board. There's like literally little sockets on the circuit board that seem to house them. And the heatsink, yeah, it's a trough, and then either side of it has like fins that run the length of it, and they point outward from each direction and to the left. So it's kind of fanned out and pointing towards the left of the unit. And when I had it running, I wasn't playing it hard or anything, but the whole right side of the unit got warm. Or the whole two-thirds of the top of it got warm. And the whole top is a very light grill cage. Not quite as light as the one I had, but still light enough. Early 80s, as I say. Haven't gotten into much of the sound of it yet. I suspect it'll be pretty smooth. They're careful to limit the impedance on this one, though. They want you to use six ohm speakers as your lowest impedance. Some of the older Pioneers that were just more standard units, didn't worry about fancy things like non-switching, you could run as low as 4 ohms impedance to it without damage to it. I suspect technically you could with this, but you'd have to watch your volume, because if those things are already running warm at an idle, you start playing it full out, they may actually overheat. But anyway, that's the unit. Little gem I picked up. Seems in pretty good shape. All the controls actually seem to work and do what they're supposed to. They're not dirty. I thought they'd be a royal pain to clean, and they still may be. But I think I can get at them through the faceplate if I need to. What's amazing is that this has stood the test of time and still actually functions. Anyway, that's my little acquisition for today. Perhaps I'll move later on what the thing actually sounds like. Anyway, take care and thanks for listening. Bye for now. Thing I just realized, I forgot to mention that I did previously undo the screws. I got a little ahead of myself and was actually looking into it. Michelle said, well, shouldn't you be booing about this? And I thought, oh yeah, maybe I should be. So I'd already taken off, there's three screws at the very back of the cage that come out, small ones, and they've got hooks on the front, kind of little clamps. Plus there's a little frame that the whole thing fits under at the front. There's little side pieces that stick out for it to latch into, so it's designed not to come apart unless you have the screws out. So not to let people think that it just that you can lift it at will. You have to actually do like I did and take it apart first. Anyway, catch you later. Bye for now.